Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and motivated by what you hear tonight. If you would like to join other listeners in the live chat room, go to www.wingsofprophecy.com and click on the live chat tab. Now here's your host, Glenda Lankus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wings Radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lankus, and tonight we're going to be doing part two of the Jezebel show. This is a lot of really good information about the spirit of Jezebel. I did a show before on the spirit of Jezebel, but I got a lot more revelation and information about it, and so I decided to do a new show. So I hope this broadcast is a great blessing to you. Okay, now, Judas, I believe, was under the influence of a Jezebel spirit or a Jezebel-like spirit. Judas got close to Jesus because he thought Jesus had a kingdom coming here. Sold Jesus out and then ran when he thought that Jesus was not going to come into his kingdom here. So he was just in it for the, you know, the wealth, the prestige, whatever, being close to the power. And here's a very interesting one, I think. Let me get the Bible so I can read it to you because I never saw this one before. Now, keep in mind that Jezebel is very rebellious, and she will turn other people against you, okay? Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 10. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelab, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you yourselves up above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will shew who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation and minister to them? And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? Now that's through verse 11. Korah led that company of people against to rise up against Moses and Aaron, and it ended very badly. If you read the story, you know. The earth swallowed, opened up and swallowed Korah, his whole family, and everything he owned. Okay, now, Elijah, when he got word, the message from Jezebel saying, so may the gods do the same to me about this time tomorrow if I haven't, you know, made you like one of them. In other words, made you like one of the prophets of Baal that you just killed. Elijah took off. He's like, okay, I'm out of here. And he ran, and the Lord stopped him and said, hey, what are you doing? Elijah sat down under a juniper tree. He got tired. He got afraid. He got discouraged. He got depressed because he said, Lord, just kill me. I'm no better than my father. Just kill me. Ahab, when he couldn't get Naboth's vineyard, went to bed and turned his face to the wall. Also a sign of depression. I submit to you, I strongly believe, because of my personal experience, that close contact with the Jezebel spirit will cause you to become fearful and depressed and very, very tired, because she's very tiring and it drains you. Also, Because Jezebel is so pushy in trying to make things happen, she often causes confusion because the person that she's working on to get what she wants is being coerced against their own will or desires, and that causes them to get confused. Then the Jezebel spirit may become charming to further persuade, or in some cases may become desperate and threaten or intimidate to get its way. It may enlist others close to it to get the help to persuade. Anytime you get confused about something, stop. Don't go any further. Confusion is not from God. Confusion is a sign the enemy has entered your situation, okay? And you need to get that sorted out before you take even one more step, and definitely before you make any decision. That's a word for somebody. Go aside, get away from people if at all possible so they won't influence you, and just seek God about whatever it is you're trying to make a decision about, okay? Just you and God. People who control and manipulate play on your emotions. They will use whatever you get excited about when you're doing what they want. When you stop doing what they want, if the Jezebel spirit is present, they will turn on you and they will start trying to make you feel ashamed, guilty, fearful, in the wrong, and out of line. Years ago, I had a friend. She was going to church in another state, and she was approached by this older woman who said, "I believe God told me that I'm supposed to mentor you. You're supposed to join this church, and I'm supposed to be your mentor." And this woman pushed her to join the church. She wanted her to join really bad. Well, at the time, it was someone that I mentored and that God had told me to mentor. So she saw, what happened was she saw her anointing, and she wanted to get close to it, okay? She saw this younger woman's anointing and wanted to get close to it, okay? She had another friend who was going to church with her that sensed that something was not right. And the second the friend began to speak up, that Jezebel turned on her like a junkyard dog and attacked her, full-out attack. And she pulled back, and she began praying and seeking God about the situation, the friend. When she finally spoke out what God had told her, that it was not for her friend, was not supposed to join that church or be mentored by that woman, it was really bad. The woman began to insinuate that she was the only one out of the three of them really hearing from God, and the truth was all three, that the other two could definitely, I don't know about the woman, but the other two definitely could hear from God. I have seen this before. There was a man that I was involved with once years ago who had a very bad Jezebel on him. I mean bad. And he kept trying to make me believe that he was supposed to be my husband. And I knew that he wasn't, because I knew what God had told me that my husband was like, and he was nothing like that. My husband, Jerry, has more man in his little finger than this guy did in his whole body, okay? Seriously, and more integrity. And he would do all kinds of things. He would be so sweet and all this, you know, and he would want to bring me gifts and stuff like this. And the minute I did not do what he wanted, he turned on me so bad. He even tried to insinuate I wasn't even saved. He tried to set things up to make it look like we had done something we had not done. It was bad, y'all. A Jezebel spirit, especially if you are involved in ministry or prominent in the church, a Jezebel spirit person will try to set things up that they can ruin you later if they don't get what they want. Can I tell you that? This has been accomplished for a number of Jezebels over the years, and they have just ruined people's lives with this. So be careful. That's another reason that if you're seeking a godly mate, I don't even advise dating. And if I had it to do all over again, I wouldn't date. I would not date. I would just sit there and wait for my husband, Jerry, because God can bring him or her to you just like God brought Eve to Adam. He can bring him right there to you. Because getting involved with the Jezebel, especially in that capacity, is extremely dangerous. They try to be real seductive. They try to be real charming. And they want a specific thing from you. If you submit yourself to someone that has the spirit, you form a soul tie. And through that soul tunnel, that spirit, Jezebel, and any other demons they have can access you. Okay? We need to be very, very careful who we submit ourselves to. It is also possible for a pastor or spiritual leader to have a Jezebel. People who manipulate and control are lacking in faith, and they are showing that they do not believe that God is going to give them what they need. They will try to make you think that they are the only go-between you and God. You do not need a go-between to hear from God. Can I tell you that? God will make his will known to you. All you have to do is sit before him quietly. He will make his will known to you. People with control and manipulation spirits get very offended if you don't listen to and do everything they want you to do. They will even try to control and manipulate the people around you through you. Now, let's talk about some of the signs that you're in contact with the Jezebel. If you begin feeling that you're being forced, pushed, or coerced, stop. If you're being feel like you're being forced to do anything, stop and seek God. Something is wrong. God never pushes or coerces. God never manipulates with guilt and shame. That is always condemnation from the devil. Always, 100% of the time. When God is convicting you, He will make you want to do better, but there will be no shame and no guilt involved, only the desire to do better. Satan, however, will make you feel like you are worthless, scum of the earth, no hope for you whatsoever, and that you're going straight to hell. Controlling and manipulating people will try to make you feel like you have done them wrong when you're just trying to get away from them. Okay, when you try to cut the ties, ooh, look out. They will try to tell you that it's wrong by the word. Check the word for yourself, y'all. You have a Bible. They will try to make you fear that if you don't listen to and obey them, that something bad's going to happen if you don't do what they want. They will try to make you fear their position. Sometimes people do this by calling it accountability, by the way. Cults are known for this. Any place or thing you cannot come and go freely from, you should be suspicious of. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay, here's another situation I've seen. Anytime anyone tells you that you must acknowledge or honor their gift or office, you should be very suspect. Jesus himself did not require this. So we certainly should not. I'm sorry, y'all. To me, that's a joke. That's like tacking three or four titles onto your name. If you have a gift from the Lord, number one, it's the Lord's gift and you're just getting it on loan, and you should just be praising Him that you get to operate in it. Number two, if your gift is not strong enough to announce itself, you sure don't need to be tacking titles onto your name. Can I just say that? Okay. I knew a person once who told another person that they had a very important prophetic word for them, but they wouldn't give it to them unless they acknowledged and honored their office. Seriously? This is a way of making you submit and therefore take on that demon. Jezebel knows this even when we don't. Obviously, we respect someone's office, but we don't bow down to it, okay? You can check that with the Word. I see nowhere in the Word where we are required to bow down to someone's office. When in the Bible was anyone required to meet certain conditions or pay money to receive a prophetic word? In the Old Testament, they did lay down a gift or an offering to make the word come forth, and I've used that myself when I had a mentor, but it was not required, and they took whatever they had. Charging for a prophetic word is, number one, fleecing the sheep, and number two, not trusting God to provide for you. I got a phone call one day from somebody that had a prophetic anointing. They said they had a prophetic word for me, but that it required me to honor their office before they would release it to me. And I was in the wilderness then, y'all, and I needed a word from God real bad. But I immediately told that person that that was not the way that the Lord worked, and I hung up on them. And boy, they were flipping out too. And I asked God to bring me that word through someone who would actually release it to me if it was really from Him, and to please not give that person any words for me since they wouldn't release them. When God gives us a word for or about someone, it is because He wants it released, okay? A word of knowledge tells that person that God is real and thinking of them, and a prophetic word edifies and uplifts. They are to be released, not held, not charged for, released. I've also known of prophets who would not even seek a prophetic word for you unless you donated to them. Anytime someone wants you to give them money to release a word and you don't, and they suddenly start prophesying gloom and doom, look out, because Jezebel is the spirit behind that. Do not submit to these people, y'all. And agreeing with it is submitting, by the way. And while we're on this subject, if someone says, "Oh, I feel that the Lord is telling me that you're supposed to give to me, you're supposed to give money to me, you're supposed to give to my ministry," can I just tell you that God doesn't ever speak that through prophets? Others may speak it through prophets, but God doesn't, okay? Show me one place in the Bible where God ever did that, because he just does not do that. God will move on your heart to give. He will not speak that to you like that through a person that you're to give to them. Okay, recognizing Jezebel. Let's say that I'm attending a church and someone very important in the church tells me that they want me to work in the nursery. And I pray about it, but I'm feeling God's leading in another direction. God wants me to do something else. The minute I tell them this, they flip out on me. all of a sudden I'm not even saved because I don't want to work in the nursery, and I've burdened them horribly by my refusal to do it. If they prophesy butterflies and daisies, and the minute you don't do everything they want, they start prophesying gloom and doom or you're not saved, you need to realize what you're dealing with. Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely means freely, y'all. Okay? I find no place in the Bible where it says that we're to charge for prophesying, healing, delivering, or any of the gifts. We are to depend on God for our needs. And that's the just shall live by faith. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. A false prophet is someone who doesn't care about helping you. They just care about helping themselves, whatever you have. A ravening wolf is a wolf that is very, very hungry. An extremely hungry wolf will kill you to get what it wants. You're just prey to it. If you get closely involved with someone who has a very controlling and manipulating spirit, it can be very difficult to get away from them. They want to call the shots, so they don't want you to go until they say you should go, till you're no longer useful to them. But you need to cut that soul tie the minute you know Jezebel's there behind them. This can be tricky business. Now, what has worked for me in the past and what the Lord had me to do that last time I was involved with someone who had that evil spirit on them that was so bad is he told me to cut off all contact and not have any contact whatsoever. Don't answer anything, nothing, no contact, period. And I did that, and it worked. And I mean, that person was like stalking me. They were like driving by my house, sending me mail, emailing me constantly, trying to blow up my phone, everything. They just harass you. That was before Jerry, obviously. But anyway, okay, now, I did finally find one website that told how to confront a Jezebel. And this is in a church or non-church setting. And this is a very good plan, so I'm going to share it with you. I got it from a website called, I wrote it down somewhere. I don't know where I wrote it down, but it was called Heaven Awaits, I think. Anyway, okay, number one, remember that it's the spirit and not the person who is the problem, okay? Try to remember we want to embrace the sinner, but not the sin. And speaking of Jezebels, before I go any further, remember that the scripture said in Revelation 2:20 that Jezebel called herself a prophetess and she would teach and deceive his people to commit sexual immorality. Okay, now just for a second, think about openly homosexual priests that are being ordained by different churches. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Okay, now, Jezebel is a very ugly spirit to deal with. She often comes out screaming after throwing up every other demon she can first. She is no match for God whatsoever, but it can take a while to get her out of there. If you think you have a Jezebel, what I would recommend is, number one, resist every trait that she does. Don't control, don't manipulate. Resist everything like that she does, all those ugly traits. And every single day, every time you think about it, rebuke her and cast her into the abyss in the name of Jesus. That's what I did years ago. And finally, a minister of deliverance told me, they said, there's no Jezebel. You don't have a Jezebel. I was like, thank God. Okay, now, I have numerous times seen or sensed a Jezebel spirit on a person with a prophetic anointing. Realize that if you discern that spirit on a prophetic person, that any prophetic words you get through them will at the very best be partial truths, because Satan is behind their motives for prophesying. It's not to help God's people, it's to help themselves, okay? To become known, to get money, whatever, okay? Okay, now, basically, to address the Jezebel spirit attached to someone, you need to approach it like you would approach going to court. You need to document what they have done and why it's wrong. Okay? You need to gather witnesses that you know will not succumb to her victim ploys when you confront her or him. I'm going to say her, but this can also be him. And when I say won't succumb to her victim ploys, Jezebel is known to switch between trying to force you to do something and acting like a victim because you're not. Or, oh, I'm being attacked. Oh, poor little me. Okay? She's very good at that. She can really put on an act, but it is an act. Okay? Give her or him a chance to repent after stating your case. Do not back down, but be prepared to prove anything you accuse them of. Okay? Because you're going to have proof. because she's going to try to talk her way out of it, and expect her to come back with name-calling and accusations, because that's usually what you get out of one, and a victim act. Okay, if there is no repentance, the spirit will continue to attempt to steal, kill, and destroy through that person, and you need to cut off contact with them if you possibly can until such time as they are willing to receive forgiveness and deliverance. Okay? In a work situation, what generally happens is you write them up, and then you will continue to monitor them and document, because they're going to do it again. Okay? Because the only time it's going to get better is if they actually experience deliverance. Okay. Be aware that, like in my case, Jezebel may come in with a generational curse. Okay? When I was 5 years old, I remember waking up screaming from nightmares that a witch was after me. And what that was the Lord showed me, was that spirit of witchcraft was already lurking around. It had access to me through the generational curse, okay, from my dad. If you have a child, a small child that wakes up screaming from nightmares, you need to pay attention to what those nightmares are and take them seriously, y'all. It's not just bad dreams. A lot of times it's something spiritual. There was a very sweet lady who wrote me, I think it was last year, and she had a small child, and he had all types of behavior problems. But what really disturbed her was he started talking about killing people, and he was like 3. And she said, I don't know what to do. And I said, so I emailed her back and said, okay, tell me about his dad. So she did, and I could see clearly that there were curses there, and she's given me permission to share this story. I could see very clearly which curses were at work. And so I wrote her back and I said, here's what I would do if this was my child. And I said, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I gave her the exact, you know, here's what I would do. She wrote me about 3 days later. She had done everything exactly like I'd told her. And he went from being a child who woke up screaming every single night at about 3 a.m., who talked about killing people, who was a major behavior issue, terrible behavior problems, to being a model child that behaved so well that when they would go in Walmart, people were constantly complimenting her on how well her child behaved. Now, that's a big difference, y'all. And, you know, behavior problems in children aren't always what the psychologists think. They can have a spiritual root. Okay, so if a curse is in place, deliverance cannot come until the curse has been broken. Now, that's not going to help you in a work situation, but in a church situation, if you have a Jezebel that you're confronting, it will. You can refer to the Curse Breaking series for more information on that. I've not done a book on Jezebel. Let's say you're in a church situation or a religious situation and the person repents. Okay, you're right, I do have a Jezebel spirit. Okay, immediately go after that spirit. Bind it and send it into the abyss. Keep binding it and sending it into the abyss until it leaves. And it may take a while. Whenever you are confronting a Jezebel, look only at the facts and do not fall victim to the victim ploys, okay? Don't forget, if this is a work situation, basically you'll have to write them up and continue to monitor and document, because the spirit's not going to leave unless it's forced out, and the person will not change. And if you've confronted her, it's going to be that much worse. In a family situation, you have to handle it the same way. Confront in a group setting with the facts. If she or he will not repent, tell them that forgiveness and deliverance will be ready whenever they are, and then cut off contact. Jezebel does not like to face things alone and will almost always have some of her entourage with her in case she needs them to defend her, so keep that in mind. When you confront, you want to always confront them alone. You don't want their friends with them to defend them, but it's none of their business. Okay? Well, that's all I have for you today. That's the end of our two-part show on Jezebel. I pray that this has been a blessing to you, and that if you have or do encounter the spirit of Jezebel on anyone that you know, that it helps you to deal with it, because it is not a fun thing to deal with. God bless you. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a great week. Bye now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio tonight. We hope that you have been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkus, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any church or nonprofit organization.